A Thought for Your Pennies is hosted by Shauna and Squeaky and explores ways to save money and tips to avoid scams, all while they share their own stories along the way. Get in touch by calling 970-425-3060 or emailing penniespod@gmail.com.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming on. It's good to have you here. I'm Shauna, and this is A Thought for Your Pennies with Squeaky.
Hey, how's it going? I have two pennies. Ooh.
Oh, wow. Are you thinking about them?
Oh, I did it wrong. Never mind.
So I wanted to talk today a little bit about raising kids and how you talk to them about human biology. And what I mean is the birds and the bees stuff, which the first rule I learned is you're not supposed to use metaphors with the kids.
Yeah, how are they going to... You have to ground a metaphor in something.
I think the best book on how to do this is this book called From Diapers to Dating, which talks about how you need to teach, like, accurate human anatomy to your kids. And, you know, it's good for their health concerns. It's good to make sure that they feel empowered by their body because they know the correct term without shame or embarrassment, whereas if you give it, like, a nickname, it's like, oh, I know this is... not what I should be saying.
So Diapers to Dating isn't a book on picking up dates in the senior home?
No, it's talking to your kids. How do you talk about human anatomy, about the birds and the bees part, about, you know, sexual reproduction, and how do you do it from when they're in diapers all the way to when they start dating?
That does sound like a much more useful book. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
It's a pretty great book, and so I always told them the anatomically correct names for all the body parts. And the other rule of thumb that the book has is that you should tell them these things as it comes up, right? So you don't, like, sit your three-year-old down and you talk about intercourse because that's not coming up for them. But you do say, you know, you have a penis and women have vulvas, because the external genitalia that you can see on women is vulvas.
So the first time the two little kids are streaking and they're like, why is little Billy different than me? And then you have to explain.
That's the time, right?
Yeah, okay.
You don't hold your six-month-old and be like, you have a penis. You know, like, you wait until there's some consciousness about it. So my son, I don't know what incident happened, but he realized that he had a penis and that not every single person around him also had a penis. Other people had vulvas. And so he started doing, like, this fact checking with people about being like, you have a penis and you have a vulva. Just like random strangers, he was going up to them and confirming, like, are you a penis person or are you a vulva person? Penis, vulva. And we were kind of like, well, I mean, sometimes there's more than that. Sometimes there's less than that. Like, their trans identity exists, but you can't really explain it. Like, little kids.
You start off with, you know, a simplified version of the thing that's mostly true. And as they need more, you give them more.
Right.
That's all complex topics.
Yeah. And yeah, so we told him this. And then the thing is that we didn't really tell anybody else in the family that this is how we were approaching it. Because it's, you know, it's not like my parents need to know that I am using anatomically correct names, because I don't know why it would come up. But I now, in retrospect, I wish I would have, because my mom babysat my kids and was like, what are you telling your kids about the car I just bought? And I'm like,
what?
I don't know. Why are you? And she's like,
does your car have truck nuts? What?
She's like, your kid had a temper tantrum today because he thought I bought a Volvo and I bought a Toyota. Because she was like, I was giving him a bath. He looked at me and he was like, you have a Volvo. And I was like, no, I have a Toyota. And my kid was like, no, you have a Volvo. And she was like, no, I got a Toyota, son. It's okay. I have a Toyota. And then he lost it, because to him, there's only penises and vulvas. And if people have Toyotas, you know, then your parents are liars. So he had a temper tantrum, and it was very hard to get him to go to bed that night because he was so upset. And so my mom was upset with me, like, why are you telling him? Why does he care so much that I have a Volvo?
My God. My goodness. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So that's something that can happen. So maybe, you know, let other people who will be bathing your kids or talking about this, maybe let them know that you are doing this with your kids. And this also, I mean, something awkward happened with our other child in her toddler phase. So my kids are 2.5 years apart. So she remembers like me being pregnant and having her younger brother. And she was like, I want more siblings. And I was like, okay, well, I am not going to have more babies. And she was like, oh, well, how do babies happen? And, you know, this is where the book is like, don't use metaphors, just say like what physically happens. And it's like, okay, so someone has sperm. And for me, it was your dad who had the sperm, and he gave me the sperm. And then the sperm went into my uterus, and there's an egg in there, and the sperm and the egg meet, and that's how the fetus develops. And then it looks like it's in my stomach, but it's not in my stomach. It's this different organ called the uterus that gets really big, and then it comes out of the vaginal canal. So we like did this very anatomically correct for this 3.5-year-old of explaining how all this happens. Without, you know, any, what we didn't think like was any sort of emotional charge, and didn't talk about the relationship aspect of it, because the book was saying like, at this age, they're just interested in mechanics. Like they want to know, how does stuff physically happen? You don't have to be like, oh, when a mommy and daddy are in love, you can just be like, look, physically, this part goes here and this part goes here. Kind of like how a recipe happens.
Do you prime them at all for the relationship component of it separately? Like say, hey, you know, sperm, yada, yada. And to be responsible, you want to be with someone who, you know, you don't want this to be at a drunken frat party. You want this to be in some sort of responsible relationship.
So relationships is also part of the whole thing. You talk about how relationships first start with your family, and then it goes to your friends, and then it goes to intimate partners. And so you're talking to them. It's kind of like a two-track system that eventually meets. Like one part you're talking about anatomically, this is the stuff that happens. And then you're talking about like, one of the things that the book said was the no rule, which is about consent. Anytime somebody says no, you just stop. If it's tickling, if it's like, I don't want to go to bed. So that's an important thing that goes to relationships and all relationships. Like she should be able to tell me, unless it's a life-threatening thing, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And so she learns that with her family. Good, and then that means she learns it with her friends. That she's a good friend. If you say no, then your good friend, a good friend will be like, okay, I accept that you say no. Where a not so good friend will be like, well, then you can't be my friend anymore. And then after you've done that, then it's intimate partners that you're able to say no. And if they're a good partner, they will stop.
I feel like a lot of people our age got a very different introduction to relationship and sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, my parents waited till I was, like, 12, and then they're like, let's talk about the birds and the bees, and then nothing but metaphors.
This was a different approach than I had grown up with, too, so I was really grateful to, like, okay, how do I do this? Because the way I learned it was not great either. So, going back to my daughter, right, we taught her the mechanics of it, right? Like, your dad, sperm, gave it to me, I had it in my uterus, you grew from there, and she was like, okay, cool, you don't want to have a younger sibling, I totally respect that. I will have the next baby. And I'm like, no, you can't have the next baby. And she's like, no, yes, I can. I have a uterus like you. I have eggs like you. All I need is sperm from somebody. And I was like, okay, that is true, but you are too young to just have sperm from people. And she's like, well, I mean, you got sperm from my dad, so I'll just get sperm from dad. And I'm like, no.
Wow.
You cannot get sperm from your family members. And she's like, why not? And I'm like, it's genetics. You can't have people that are too close to each other. Like, you need to have different people. And she's like, okay, so to get sperm, I need from a stranger. And I'm like, well, they start out as strangers or outside of your family, but they become part of your family, and then you can get the sperm. And she's like, okay, got it. And so we at this point were like, okay, she's got it. She stopped asking her dad for sperm. We're like, okay, good. She understands the mechanics of it. We're okay. And then we have this huge conversation that lasts a long time. We think she's got it. We take the elevator. We go downstairs. We go into the mail lobby. She walks up to the mailman and goes, can I have your sperm? Because he's a stranger to her. And the mailman does not understand this 3.5-year-old, 4-year-old, you know, the way she spoke, because that's just like the last thing you're expecting a 4-year-old to be asking you. And he's like, what? And I was like, no. Okay. You can't get sperm from strangers like that either. And she didn't get it. So finally I was like, look, do you see how big your brother is? Because he weighed 30 pounds and she also weighed 30 pounds. And she's like, yes. And I'm like, okay, so I am very big, so I could hold the baby in my uterus. The reason why you need to wait till you're older is because you have to get bigger before you can have the baby in your uterus. And she was like, okay, I'll wait to have my next sibling then. I'm like, okay, great.
I love the idea of her having her own sibling. But following that previous chain of logic, it sounds like those tracks will connect naturally, because if the kids are going to ask about these inappropriate relationships, you're going to answer questions to prevent Child Protective Services from being called, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I've got a silly one on junk food, if now's a good time.
Yeah, go ahead.
God, it doesn't hold a candle to your other stories, and I don't know. But so this was about learning a thing as a child, right? Because I guess my grandmother subscribed to this quite progressively way back when I was like 8 or 9. And we were getting pizza at a Little Caesars. And I remember because it was the one, like, inside one of those department stores. We went into the back and, like, we were out getting something for school or something. I don't remember. But there was a dude who barely spoke English was working the counter. And I just got cheese pizza because I'm a little kid. You know, it seems popular with little kids. But my grandmother, Nana, she wanted, like, a supreme pizza. And she wanted to make sure to everything. And because there were communication difficulties, she was asking questions. So it was clear to me, even as a little kid, that she was, like, really patronizing this dude. She's like, does this pizza have pepperoni? And he's like, yeah, it has everything. But, you know, in the broken English where he's like, it's supreme, it has everything. And then, like, does this pizza have olives? And he's like, yeah, pizza has everything. And then Nana's like, is this pizza ovulating? And he's like, yeah, pizza is ovulating. And just like, I have no clue what's going on. I'm like, Nana, there's no ovulating on the pizza. What's ovulating? And he's like, don't, no. And then Nana had to shut me up, right? To land the practical joke. We get our pizza, we go sit down, and then she explains to me what ovulation is. So that's right there in that. I think it was a Shopko and a Little Caesars, two things that barely exist anymore.
Yeah, that's a great way to learn about what ovulating is over pizza.
I think I had to explain to my parents what ovulating pizza was all about later, and I'm sure it was just like you and your kid asking for sperm from the mailman.
Yeah, right.
When a mommy pizza and a daddy pizza love each other enough, the mailman gives his sperm to the pizza. I don't know. Ugh.
All right, that's a good one. Hey there, Penny Thinkers. This is the ad part of our show that you want to skip over, but I don't want you to skip it because I want you to help out people who have survived the LA fires. And we have this link for you, linkcuts.org/LA fires. If you go there, there's a Google spreadsheet that has a ton of different organizations to help out the victims of the LA fire. Would love if you could show your support for our show by supporting the survivors.
I don't know what you said, Shauna, but I wholeheartedly agree that we should help people in the LA fires. So yeah, was that linkcuts.org/LA fires, all lowercase?
Yeah, that is the link, linkcuts.org/LA fires.
Well, I support you think I am. Fires prevent money donate.
Did I just word salad?
If you didn't, I got lost.
Man, the important thing is linkcuts.org/LA fires. Welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, this is Squeaky, and I save money by not having a gym membership.
Good job, Squeaky. And we're all going to be talking about how to save on fitness. So, Squeaky, if you don't have a gym membership, how do you keep in shape?
I actually do have one. I don't use it as much as I should, though. I used to get a ton of cardio in riding a bike. Recently, I've been working so much that I don't have time for real exercise. So It's shoveling snow, maybe a little bit of Beat Saber, but that's not enough cardio, right? So I should
Wait,
be getting
Beat
more in.
Beat Saber?
Yeah, it's a VR game where you're like attacking music notes as they fly at you. And if you play it for an hour and your shirt isn't sweaty, you're some sort of Olympiad.
Okay, I remember this. My mom and I played Dance Dance Revolution for an entire summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about as athletic as that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, I've done lots of things, but I think the most successful thing I've done on the cheap was when I did the Couch to 5K program, where I learned how to run long distances, where I relearned it by running with a friend. And when the app first came out, it was free. It costs money now, but I think there's probably knockoff apps that do the same thing that train you to run a 5K. I would say that was my most successful fitness time. Mm. The second most successful fitness time, I would say, is when I went to Planet Fitness every morning with a friend, because she needed my membership so that she could get in for free. So I had to show up or she couldn't get in, and I didn't want to.
You could let yourself down, but you couldn't let your friend down.
Right, exactly. Okay. She was depending on me.
In a similar vein, the most successful time I've had for fitness wasn't about me letting myself down. It was about me letting my employer down when I didn't have a license. So I was biking everywhere. I was biking hundreds of miles a week. It was nuts.
So right now I'm using the free Step Up app in a group campaign with my friends to see who can win the most amount of steps in a month. The winner gets $50. And this has definitely increased how many walks I take in a day, but we'll see if it's as successful as these other times.
Another one that got me out was geocaching.
Oh, yeah.
You heard of this? Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's this thing where people hide stuff just somewhere in the community, and I was trying to get back into biking after I'd been driving for a few years again, and I'd bike crazy places, and it'd say, somewhere here, you know, like 100 yards of this GPS location, find it. And I was digging around. It was like, you have to go, like, break inside of light poles, climb on the underside of a railway bridge, like the monkey bars, and you find, like, a little, like, jar of peanut butter, and you're like, what's inside? And it's like little trinkets people have left behind. I'm like, well,
oh wow,
this is the weirdest stuff.
I mean, it was the journey, right? But this episode, we want to talk with you about other ways that you can save money on fitness. So let's talk about what a typical gym membership costs, right? Because that's what most people think about when they do fitness, is a gym membership, which has monthly fees, initiation fees, annual maintenance fees, potential hidden costs like cancellations or late payments. And according to Bloomberg, Americans spend on average $75 a month on gym memberships, classes, and health clubs.
What the heck? The gym I have, which is, I pretty much go there and just lift weights. I paid for a year, it was $160. What?
A year?
Yeah. I pay once a year, and they actually don't get my... Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, and they have cardio stuff, too, but I skip that because I've, you know, Beat Saber and bicycles, but...
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, I go there, I lift weights, and there's always weird gym bros where I can ask them questions. I'm like, hey, weird gym bro, that muscle's huge. You did that machine. How does that machine work? And they're like, to get this result on that machine, do this. I do that, and I'm like, okay, it's getting better. That's probably not the right way to do it, but they're always helpful.
That's great. Yeah, gym bro culture can be amazingly positive.
Yeah, you got to find the right ones. Yeah.
And there's some pitfalls with gym memberships. Signing on long-term contracts without reading the fine print. Paying for amenities and services not utilized.
Mm.
So how can we save on gym memberships? It depends when you enroll. Because gyms offer promotions during certain times of the year, such as New Year's, when a lot of people have those New Year resolutions related to fitness, or back to school seasons. I know this was definitely my pattern for a while, where during the summer, I was too busy with my kids to work out. But then once they were back in school, I finally had some morning time to myself after I dropped them off before I started work for the day.
I didn't sign up in January at all. I signed up July 5th. And I remember because the day before I had like 15 vegan cheeseburgers or whatever, because my dad did a cookout and had vegan burgers for like the first time. And I went to the gym the next day because I needed it.
Another way that you can save on gym memberships is checking out to see if your employer has a discount or if there's some other association that you're a part of. But most employers and health insurance plans offer subsidies or reimbursements for gym memberships, because the healthier you are, the less it costs health insurance. Your employer's paying for health insurance. They want to save money on that.
Depending on what tier of employment we're talking about, there's a number of office places I've been that have gyms on site.
Oh, yeah.
I was a contract with TD Ameritrade, and I guess it's Charles Schwab now, and none of the contractors could use it, but there was a gym on site. I had to walk by every day to get to my desk. So similar situation with Google and Meta. Even the weird data center out here in the middle of nowhere, Council Bluffs, if you've never heard of that, that's how popular it is. They have a gym on site.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, like... Yeah.
At City Hall, there's a flight of stairs, and then there's a sign next to it that says, meet your personal trainer to take the flight of stairs instead of the elevator.
What is it with government buildings and awesome signage? Do you remember in the courthouse out here, the coffee shop was legal grounds for the longest time? It was like,
great.
You walked the DMV, and you have to pass legal grounds. They had really good coffee, too.
That's great. Yeah. So check with your HR department to see if there's incentives, your insurance company, and see if you can use your HSA, which is a health savings account, or FSA, flex saving accounts, for fitness-related expenses.
That's a great idea.
Another thing to save money is to consider budget gyms, like big chains, like Planet Fitness, offer low monthly rates with essential equipment. Planet Fitness, I was a member there for 3 or 4 years, and this was actually something I did with my whole family, because they had cheap memberships where I could bring in somebody for free, and then they had a special where it was like 14 to 18 was free to bring my kids to the gym with me. Yeah, so Steven and I and the kids actually got up before they went to school and worked out at Planet Fitness together to just learn the basics for my kids of weightlifting. And the only thing about Planet Fitness is that they don't really have a free weight section. Like, they go up to, I think, 60 or 90 pounds with the barbells. And then after that, you have to use a Smith machine, which isn't the greatest for building muscle. But, you know, if you're working with kids and you're just trying to get them into a healthy habit, it was pretty great for getting the family up. And we all went there together and we all worked out together.
Can I contrast that with the gym I'm going to right now? Okay. So just the name. The name is Iron Heaven Gym.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. At first, I was a little skeeved out the first time a friend brought me there. She was a Marine, and I was like, okay, I'm getting ready for some really weird, like, ex-military gym. And you walk in, and on the back of the gym, there are these flags for, like, the 75th Ranger Corps and the whatever, and,
wow,
and all these different ex-military groups. And you walk in, and almost everybody is middle-aged dude who clearly did his 20 and then got out. They're all like,
nice.
I did 20 years. I want to keep the fitness up. That's one thing I really appreciated from it. And that's what the gym's full of. And it's great. It's just tons of people like that. And then their family and stuff.
Great. Because the local non-chain gym where I am is $35 a month.
That's not bad. I mean, it's a little bit, but it's not great. It's not bad.
It was more than the $15 a month than the Planet Fitness where I could get in somebody free. Right. And theirs is like $35 a month and I can't get somebody else in free. And it was this tiny strip mall, hole in the wall type place where they have free weights and a couple of cardio machines that obviously you warm up before you get onto the free weights. So I wish there was like a big, you know, what is your place called again?
Iron Heaven.
Iron Heaven near me. I'm missing out.
And they have three of them, right? And they name them after the streets. So it happens that I go to Iron Heaven Stonegate.
Nice.
Because it's just on Stonegate Circle. We just name, I don't know, we ran out of names a while ago.
All right, well, I'll have to see if there's an Iron Heaven that's come to Colorado now. But another thing to save money on gym memberships is you can talk to them and negotiate membership terms. A lot of the managers will be flexible to retain or attract members. So you can ask for a trial period before committing. You can ask about discounts for paying upfront or for longer term commitments. And speaking about trials, a lot of gym places do have free trials and passes. They'll provide free passes to potential members, and you can take advantage of free trials to access the facility and assess to see if it has the things you need. Like sometimes if you're like me and you need a person to work out, you want to know what kind of classes do they have.
Oh, that's a great
idea. You can use it strategically to access everything without immediate commitment.
And like so many things, just shopping around is often a good idea. So if you go and try a free trial at like five different gyms, you're gonna pick the one of those that works the best for you, as the best location, the best time, the best community, if that's what you're looking for, right? Just whatever you need to stay in shape, shopping around and free trials. That's a great idea. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and I think the thing that you need for a fitness is you just need a routine that you can actually stick to.
Hard.
Because that's the hardest part, is I think there's no magic bullet. There's just finding a physical activity that you like, that you have access to, that you can do no matter what your lifestyle is. And if you stick to something for a couple of years, you'll notice results no matter what it is. Although I will talk about scams. So if it's a scam, that doesn't apply, but for most workout routines, if you stick to it, it'll work. But let's say that a routine you want to stick to is not something at the gym. What can you do instead? So there's just working out at home. There's online resources and minimal equipment to exercise at home. YouTube channels have free workout routines. There's a lady who does, you know, Pilates has that big transformer thing. So you think, oh, I can't do Pilates at home because I need one of those giant expensive transformer things. But there's people who teach Pilates just using a foam roller. And Pilates is very hard, actually. I thought it was just a little like, oh, this isn't really lifting weights. It's not hard. And then my whole body shakes all the time trying to hold the different Pilates positions. So it can be a real workout, these workout apps. Yeah.
For an episode of our podcast, you should give us a visual demonstration of how that works.
Well, right now, you don't need to do that. You can just look up Pilates foam roller routine.
Okay.
And you can see, you can try it out yourself and let me know how it goes.
On the foam roller, because that's a piece of equipment that I suspect most people who haven't done Pilates don't already have. What's a price range for that? And like, I don't know, just what separates a good one from a bad one?
Foam rollers can be pretty cheap, actually. And you can get foam rollers from secondhand stores, like Play It Again Sports or any sporting equipment goods thing, thrift stores. It's a high density roller made of foam. It's just a round, long tube that you can get. And I had never used it for workouts. I had always used it for stretching, taking a foam roller and rolling it over my super tight calves or around my hips and just rolling over my hips with that before I work out. And so they aren't that expensive because I think that's how most people use them.
Okay. It's good to know.
Another thing that you can do instead of a gym is just going outside. Like you were saying, you were biking around all the time doing geocaching. You can also do running, hiking in local parks and trails. Colorado, I am very lucky that there's lots and lots of great hikes around here. And I love the, I'm not paid by anybody, but I love the All Trails app because it tells me what the trail conditions are, the ratings, the views that I can see on the app and give me exact updates if I'm going on or off trail while hiking. So I love that.
I saw a movie recently with a ton of people hiking and running in it. It was Cocaine Bear, and they were all running from the bear. No.
Okay. If you'd like to reenact Cocaine Bear for your fitness, actually, there are apps that do this. It's like Zombie Run or something like that, where you gain points by running and pretending. Yeah. There are some, I mean, to get into one of the fitness apps and online platforms, there are some apps that will help you work out, like FitBod. That's for experienced weightlifters. I do a 5x5 through Strong Lifts program. Of course, there's Peloton, which people like to use as well. Peloton's run program, actually, I've used, and I really like the training that they had with that. And then there's some others that are more gamified in two ways. So there's like the gamification I was talking about where you're running from zombies, and that's a part of it. But then there's another type of gamification that is you pay $20 for 6 weeks. So you are really invested into this program and you have everybody else with you paying that amount of money. And you all are playing a game together through this game. And they say that has the highest like successful completion rates out of any fitness apps because you're paying into it.
So what's the go? Is it like a betting thing, like where someone gets the money or you're all going to lose the money, but you get results, you get like placement in the game, the more fit you are, the better you do.
There's a full range. There is, you all put in $20, winner takes all. There's, we all put in $20 and the winner gets half. There's, we all put in $20 and we don't get anything, but it's, the game is designed so well. Yeah.
So it ranges from it's like an office pool, like a betting pool, to, hey, we're paying for some experience and fitness happens to be tacked along. You just have to find the right app because there's so many of them out there.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
Another place that you can go instead of traditional gyms are community centers. Community centers offer low cost or free fitness classes and facilities. Think of your local YMCA, participating in group activities or sports leagues. My husband plays volleyball, I think like 5 nights a week now, through signing up through these leagues that he just plays with friends.
Yeah. I could imagine someone falling into some sport that's way less athletic, but volleyball, that gets you up and moving quite a bit.
Yeah.
Five nights a week?
He really likes it.
bowling speed for a lot of people.
Yeah, he likes it a lot, and he's having a good time.
Awesome.
And that brings me to the next thing, which is tracking progress. There's some fitness apps or journals to monitor your improvements and stay motivated. I think this is kind of the opposite of a to-do list, and it's more of the motivation of, like, what I've done list. Like, to feel proud of, like, what did I get done today? Well, I got this done. I got that done.
That's great, but is there a pithier way to say it? Done, got list? I don't know. Did that? It's just none of it. To-do. It's two syllables, four letters. It's so elegant. That's why we make to-do. It's just, it's easy.
Yeah. Got it done list. Three syllables.
Okay. We'll workshop it. We'll get there, though.
Okay. All right. So that is our offering on how to save money, thinking about how you could save money on gym memberships, other alternative ways to work out, things that you can do that don't cost any money in order to stay fit, what really works for Squeaky, for me, for other people in order to stay fit, and let us know. Yeah.
Are there cheaper things to give to a bear than cocaine? I want to run from the bear, but Coke's expensive.
I am not getting into animals chasing after me fitness routine. Just, I won't do it. I know there's various cultures around the world, like the running of the bulls.
That's so inhumane. I'm just going to give the bear some peanut butter and see what happens. Okay. I can afford peanut butter.
I think fitness for me, if it's a social goal, like I was at a firefighter ceremony the other day, and you could tell that all those guys and gals, they stay fit because they can save people
and they
can save each other, right?
I think
that's like a socially motivated goal. The stronger I am, the more I can save people. And that's very motivating. And I think that's such a different way to approach fitness, because most of the time fitness is like, okay, for me, I want to live longer. I want to look better. I want to, you know, run from a cocaine fueled bear. But I think a big social goal is a great goal too, but there's just not too many things like that where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna be a volunteer firefighter because actually I just want to lose weight. It's like, no, it's a pretty big commitment just for fitness. Well, if you have other ideas about fitness related savings or what you do to stay motivated, email us at athoughtforyourpenniespod@gmail.com and we'll share it on air so that we can learn how to save money together.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Thought for Your Pennies. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I managed to save 2 pennies, and I'm going to donate them to the survivor of the LA fires.
The one survivor's getting both your pennies. That's so generous, Squeaky. God, I can't keep
up. Oh, that's right. I'll find a few more pennies and donate to the survivors at linkcuts.org/LA fires.
Yep, helping each other out whenever there are problems is a great thing we should all be doing, even if we can't make it through a simple ad read without laughing.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky. My home is full of fire hazards.
All right, Squeaky, I hope you stay cool or have a fire extinguisher nearby. This episode, we're going to go over weight loss and fitness scams. Have you ever taken a diet wonder drug, Squeaky?
No. No, I haven't. Putting weird things in my body is not something I do medicinally.
No, I wanted to talk about, when I was thinking about the scams, I thought about how my mom bought these tapes. Where this woman, VHS tapes, not like taping her body, but because when you're talking about weight loss and fitness scams, you could be talking about anything, right?
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah.
Right?
VHS tapes, where this woman promised that you could lose weight by breathing. So this lady, she was in a complete Jane Fonda getup with the spandex, brightly colored tights, and she'd stand there and she would make you exhale and like exhale, 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 a little bit more, exhale. Breathe out even more and then hold it for like 10 seconds. And then she would make you inhale, 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 inhale. When you think you're full, inhale a little more and hold it. And you had to do all of that while you were in a semi-squat position.
Oh, I'm pooping.
Man, yeah.
That's happening.
You could still get the VHS on eBay if you want. It's called Breathicize.
They just, after Jazzercise, they gave up any semblance of caring. For our younger listeners, thank you for the full description of Jane Fonda, because I actually don't remember celebrities, but like I get the trope you're going for.
Mm-hmm.
That very 1980s neon spandex Yeah. Athletics. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have a VHS goodness. Player, $7.99 eBay account, you too can own Breathicize and learn how to lose weight by breathing, extreme breathing, that's Breathicizing.
That's all old people stuff. You could just go to YouTube and type it in, I'm sure. What thing have people not turned into a weight loss scam?
Well, we're about to go over that, and so I'll read them all, and then if there's one that's missing, we could start a new podcast.
I thought we were time boxing this. For some reason, I thought this would take less than 1,000 years.
No, we are starting with miracle pills and supplements.
Okay, products. If you're going to lump them all together, that'll help a little bit.
Okay, that's right. So products that claim rapid weight loss without the need for diet or exercise, claims of no lifestyle change needed, promise of quick results with unrealistic timeframes. So those are some red flags, according to the FTC.gov, of scammy miracle pills and supplements.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, those are all red flags. Overpromise, underdeliver.
Another one is the false advertising and fake testimonials of using altered images and fabricated success stories to promote products. This is highly regulated on TV, but social media, it's the wild, wild west out there with before and after and photoshopping and before and after videos.
I love the ones where they don't even try, where they get to before and after of two different people. You're like, no, but it's so many scams, like, do it wrong on purpose to attract the people with the least attention to detail possible.
Well, another scammy practice is free trial offers that lead to subscription traps, free trials that result in unexpected reoccurring charges. You sign up for a free sample and unknowingly enroll in a monthly subscription. The red flags here are requirement of credit card information for the free trial, complex or hidden terms and conditions. And this actually changed during the Biden administration, where they passed some legislation that said, especially with these online app subscription things, that as easy it was to sign up, it should be that easy to discontinue.
That's nice. I like that in principle.
Another scam is unverified online products, purchasing weight loss drugs or supplements from unregulated online sources, like ordering cheaper versions of popular weight loss medications from unknown websites. And this is rampant right now with the Ozempic craze.
Yeah, because Ozempic's real stuff. It's some sort of hormone thing, right?
Yeah.
But there's a ton of knockoffs where it's like, you know, you can buy something from somebody. Yeah, sorry, these, I forget what it's called, a compounding pharmacy, I think?
Compound pharmacy, that's right, because the FDA has said, okay, there is a shortage of these actual medication, so we will allow compound pharmacies to make this stuff. So you're seeing like these weight loss bars pop up in strip malls saying that they have the compound pharmacy, but some of them are legit and some of them aren't.
It is just people wanting to avoid the regulation because the boogeyman of the word regulation is scary. We really do need things that are as dangerous as weight loss pills to be regulated, because if it's taking pounds off of your body, it's doing something impressively potent to the chemistry of your body. And we are just funny bags of chemistry. And we are, right? How many things can go wrong?
With the unknown, cheaper versions of stuff, red flags to look for, especially in these Ozempic days of compound pharmacies and you don't know, is there's a lack of ingredient transparency and there's no clear contact information or customer support. That's from businessinsider.com. Those are some red flags that you can look for.
If they don't say what they have in them, it's not real medicine. All real medicine has to say that. If it worked, it wouldn't be alternative.
So now I'm going to talk about some, before Squeaky cries his eyes out.
You're killing me.
Some recent trends and notable cases. It's okay, Squeaky. It'll be okay. So like I mentioned before, there's lots of regulations about false advertising on television, but on social media, it's a different thing. And lots of social media influencers promote weight loss products without disclosing their sponsorships or their potential risks. There was an example in the New York Post of an influencer facing severe health issues after promoting and using unverified weight loss injections.
Wait, hang on. You're saying people can lie on the internet?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, they lie on TV too, but there's some more regulations about how they do it on TV, but social media, yeah. Celebrity branded supplements, celebrities launching weight loss products that lack any scientific backing.
So like when Alex Jones tries to sell me bone broth and sea moss, maybe that stuff's not doing anything?
I don't think it is. I didn't know that's where bone broth suddenly got a crazy fall. Like all of a sudden, people
I don't
were
think
talking
it's,
about bone broth for like
I don't
a
think
year,
it's just
it
him pushing it. But oh, okay. If you're staying up on the conspiracy theory wackos and what they're doing, so many of them are pushing like fake medicine. So chances are if you're getting your policy or your politics news and your medicinal supplements from the same place, one or both of them is full of junk.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and then TikTok has some dangerous dieting trends, like viral diet hacks on social media promoting unproven and harmful methods. One trend, according to the Daily Telegraph, was involving the use of castor oil for weight loss. Okay. And that has been debunked by health professionals.
But, you know, at least eating castor oil isn't going to hurt you, right? You can make food out of castor oil. You can, like, put that in a pan and throw, like, veggies on it and sizzle it. At least it's not gasoline, right?
Or drinking bleach to protect yourself against COVID.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So here's how to identify scams, right? Be skeptical of unrealistic claims, products that promise rapid results without effort. Caution.
Yeah. And what sucks is some of them are like that, like Ozempic, right? Ozempic's real, right? But it's simulating the chemistry of our body. So like you have to actually know something to make this work for you. But yeah,
I think using Ozempic, you still have to have effort in order to lose weight on it. I don't think you just stab yourself and then it magically disappears.
You definitely get better results. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Research the product and the company. Look for reviews. Verify credentials. Check for any legal actions or complaints before you spend a lot of money on it. Consult healthcare professionals. Seek advice from medical practitioners before starting any new weight loss program.
Oh, I should trust experts? Yeah.
Let's trust experts.
Read the fine print. Understand all terms and conditions, especially concerning free trials and subscriptions. And report suspicious products. Notify authorities like the Federal Trade Commission if you encounter potential scams.
That's all very good advice. Thank you.
Sure. So here's reputable places where you can check. The Federal Trade Commission offers guidance on avoiding health and weight loss scams. The Food and Drug Administration provides information on dietary supplements and potential health fraud. And the Better Business Bureau allows consumers to check business ratings and file complaints.
Thank you very much for sharing more scams with me. I like that.
I don't know if you're going to be able to survive this podcast, Squeaky, because you get so upset every time we do scams. I'm like, people are scamming. Here's how they scam. And you're like, I'm going to find them and make them stop.
One of these days, I'm not going to show up to record, and there'll be one fewer patent medicine seller out there, right?
So that's our episode on fitness scams and weight loss scams. I hope it was informative for you. Obviously, there are lots of podcasts that go into this in depth that you could seek out if you're interested, but let us know what you think.
Do you want me to just rattle a bunch off?
Sure, go ahead.
The body of evidence is great. I love their creed, right? It's just awesome. The Cognitive Dissonance podcast touches this about one in every five episodes. This podcast will kill you. Picks a new medical thing every episode. And they just talk about things that will kill you. It's a little dark sometimes because this podcast will kill you. Ono, Ross, and Carrie, because they just touch things that you could conceivably go and enjoy, and they'll spend a little bit of money so you don't have to. And about half the stuff they touch is some weird weight loss scam.
Okay. All right. Well, if you have ideas, podcasts that Squeaky missed, you can email us at thoughtforyourpenniespod@gmail.com and we'll share it on air so that we can all save money together.